Okay. We left off at Galatians chapter 4. We actually, I think we got one verse down, didn't we?
I thought we said we were going to start in 8.
So we'll start at, 4:8?
I thought that's what you said, but it's okay. We'll start wherever you want.
We'll start at 4:8 then. And we found out from the last lesson that when we are free from the law, we are free to become sons of God. We're free to embrace the liberty that we have in Christ. As long as we're under the law and under a performance basis, we never establish the relationship with the Lord. As long as you are concentrating on the do's and don'ts that the law requires. And that was the problem with the law. We see from previous lessons too that the law demanded something from us that we couldn't do. And it demanded something from the Jews that they couldn't do. And that is produce the righteousness that's required to have a relationship with the Lord. You know, people quote verses all the time. You ever heard them quote this? It says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You ever hear that verse quoted? And it's true, because God is a righteous God. So how could we, where Paul gets to Galatians 4 and 5 and says that he has redeemed us from under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons? And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And Annette brought the point out last week, which was really edifying, is that there was somebody would tell her that the reason why we don't have a good relationship with the Lord is because we don't fear Him enough. And this is the Paul, and we went back to Romans and showed we saw that he said he did not give us the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's what the law does. It produces fear, not a reverent kind of fear, but a phobic kind of fear, phobia, where they were actually scared of the Lord. They told Moses, don't let him talk to us. You talk to us. And that's what he said. He drew a line. Do you remember that? He drew the line and says, you make sure that they don't come across this line. Because they had agreed to approach him in their own righteousness. It won't happen. It can't happen.
There's no way to have a surety or security of heaven as long as you're
in the performance. Right. That was, was talking to Karen. I was reading something that she wrote, and she said, we can't get any closer to the Lord than we are right now. And I thought about it, I said, wow, you know what? To have the relationship that we have, to be bone of His bones and flesh of His flesh, you can't get any closer than you can right now. We can't have any more forgiveness than we have right now. And when I read that, I was like, wow. I said, you can put that on a plaque. Because we need to know that. And we didn't get it by performing. We got it by His grace. He made us accept it. He gave us that relationship. That He says that we might receive the adoption of sons. And by that Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy, right? A very close. Do you remember that? It was a passage in Samuel where Jonathan and David were so close. He said that he loved him as his own soul. Do you remember that passage? Or maybe you don't, but you got to take my word for it. That he loved Jonathan and they loved each other as their own soul. like soulmates. They were soulmates. But the Lord says that we are one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We can't be separated from him. And that's the relationship where he says, now we can cry what? Abba, Father.
And Abba means?
That means, Abba means Father. But it's a, right, it's a, like I said, a term of endearment. Where maybe your grandson, maybe he calls you Papa. I don't know what he calls you.
Is
Grandpa. Grandpa. A grandpa. That's a, he doesn't say, hey, Mr. Frank. Because the relationship is closer than that. And that's what the Lord is telling us. He says, we have received that spirit where we can cry, Abba, Father. We should. But you know what gives us that relationship? Is the knowledge. Knowledge of the relationship.
Because it's spiritual. We can't see it. We believe it by faith. That's the Lord tells us.
Right. How many people you talk to, and they all, every believer will say this. Most of them. I would say 85 to 90% would say, I love the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
They always say that. What else are they going to say? They're not going to say, well, I don't, they might say, I love them, but I don't love them like I should. But the thing is how can you love him? We were talking about this. How could you love him and not know him? That's what Paul's prayer is over and over again, is that we might know him.
In truth, not in our imagination.
And, right, the God of our imagination. Or what is it? The God of our misunderstanding. And that's what it is. But he says in verse 6, and we're going to roll down here, he says, and because ye are sons, he God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That's how we get it. No more servants. And we know the difference between a servant and a son, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Servants are limited. If you remember nothing else, servants are limited in their relationship.
Tutors and governors.
Period. They don't have they're not always privy to what the father's doing. They're not always involved in those things. They serve out of obligation, not out of love.
They're not heirs.
They may serve the heir, but they're not heirs. And the Lord says, now, he says, now you are not a servant, but a what? You're
son.
A son. And if you're a son, then you're a what?
An heir.
Through Christ. He says, how be it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? He says, when you knew God, or he says, when God knew you. I like that. That goes back to what we were saying, where people will say, I love the Lord. Not really. You may say, I want to know him. Like Paul said, that's my earnest desire, is to know him. And think about Moses. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, that was he had been with the Lord for 80 years, almost approaching 80 years. And, you know, he got to the point where he says, he asked the Lord, he says, show me thy glory. Do you remember that passage?
Yeah.
He says, well, he had just come out of Egypt. He just saw all these signs and wonders, all these miracles. See, he was going through the wilderness with them. He saw how he provided for the children of Israel, the water from the rock, the manna. He saw all this, and then he gets to a point and he says, show me thy glory.
We always want more.
But you know what? But it was, Moses is a type of what?
Christ.
Well, Moses is the law. He's the law.
Oh, okay.
So his relationship is what?
Legal.
It's legal and it's limited. So he's asking the Lord, he says, show me thy glory. Even though the Lord says this, he says, I'm gracious, I'm merciful, I'm forgiving. But he turns right around and says, in no ways clearing the guilty.
He was looking for a reward.
He was looking to see how is it that you're going to deal with me and these people. He knew they deserved to be consumed. The Lord told him, he said, stand back and let me consume these people. And he says, I will make you a new nation. And Moses, he says, show me thy glory. And he says, matter of fact, let's look at that. Look at Exodus.
Taken back with that question. Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't say he was taken back with the question, but...
I guess he wasn't expecting
to do all. Exodus. I should have remembered the verse before I told you that. Exodus, maybe 30? Nope, not 30. I'm gonna need some help on this one. Exodus 33. I found it.
33 what?
33 and let's just kind of skip through here. Look at verse 1 for starters. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. Verse 5. For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. Look down at verse. And the Lord calls up Moses into the tabernacle. Verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. You know, Moses, just before that, Moses, you know what? Let's just look at that verse before that. Verse 11. Okay, verse 10. And all the people saw. All right, verse 9. That's it. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may, what?
Know thee,
that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Now, that's what Moses, he's the only one that has this relationship with the Lord, And even he is asking. Nobody could talk to the Lord but Moses. And even Moses, his relationship is limited.
But you say back here, they talk face to face.
Right.
But I thought God never talked to anybody face to face.
Well, that's you notice that it said the cloud of the Lord
right.
came down. So he's seeing it, and he's seeing a.
Well, I just misunderstanding it. So
no, you. But that's good that you read like that, because if he's what he's saying that is.
He could reach out and touch him, but he couldn't see his face.
Yeah, he was in. Who knows what he? Maybe he saw a. I can't think of the word.
Theophany.
Yeah, which is like a God appearance. Maybe not God himself, but a form of a man. And but for the text's sake, we're going to say that he was just in front of the cloud, and the cloud was the presence of the Lord. And he knew that, and they knew that. Actually, there's a lot more too in that phrase, but that's not our lesson. But he says that he says in verse 14, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Verse 17, he says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I would do this thing also that thou hast spoken." I'm skipping. I shouldn't skip those verses. Verse 14, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I would do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And he said, and the Lord said to Moses, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst," there you go, Frank, "thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and what?
And live.
There you go. Even with all that Moses experienced, as close as he was to the Lord still limited his relationship with Moses. He says, the only way I can think of it, he's saying this, "Me and you, we're not like this."
I'll show you my back.
Right. He said, "We can't go together." He says, "I'm you still... you still make me sick." What's that?
He was a sinner.
Right. He was still, even though the Lord had picked him to be the leader, the relationship was still lacking. Does that make sense? Okay, Galatians. Look, even the lawgiver, so all those after him, can you imagine the children of Israel? That's the relationship they had with the Lord. That's what that's when you say you want to perform, and when you want to go back under the law, that's the relationship you say that you want.
This never
hurt. Look, how can you know him when you're concentrating on your performance? I don't think people realize that. How can you get close to the Lord when he's telling you, a good example, Mary and Martha. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is sitting there. And the one that had the relationship did what? She sat down. But the one who didn't have the relationship did what?
She's busy
what?
Performing.
Look at me, Lord. Look at all I'm doing for you. And all he's saying is what?
She chose the better.
The what?
The better.
The better relationship is the one that rests at his feet.
Yeah.
and hears from him. But as long as you're toiling and moving, and he said the chief thing she's left undone, which is to listen to me.
Could I just add something to you? All those years that I was under performance in the sense that I knew I was going to hell, I feared the Lord. And then the day that I understood that he died for me and rose again, the day that I came to know him, I didn't fear him anymore. But until I knew how to rightly divide better, I would be sometimes bothered by people that would come up to me and say, but you have to fear the Lord. Because I didn't fear him anymore. But I didn't know how to explain why.
Right. You know what? We use fear. Our English word has conditioned us to look at fear. Did we talk about this? Only one way. We look at fear as, and it's phobia. The word is phobia. But we look at it, right, we look at it one way. And that's not the case. It's a reverential fear. Respect. And
not knowing any what you folks know, I've never feared God or Jesus. I never had the fear. I didn't know you were supposed to fear him according to the teaching. I just always, it wasn't part of my understanding.
Thank you. That's what I was waiting for him to say is, and that's fine. But that's what our relationship is based on is understanding. It's information. That's when Paul went to Athens, he said his spirit was stirred in him because he saw the city, what? Holy, given to idolatry. And he says, and I saw this inscription.
To the unknown God.
To the what?
The unknown God.
To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. He says, him I declare unto you. I want to make him known to you. There's no difference today. We have a bunch of Athenians running around and they're doing things in the name of the Lord. That they think that this is, I know the Lord, I love the Lord. See my altar. Mm-hmm. I know the Lord. You see what I'm doing for him? We do this because we love the Lord, and we do this because we love the Lord. And whatever this is, you can fill in the blank. But he says, if you love me, you won't do what? You won't do any of that. Because you realize that he has done that. Everything that he's pleased with, he's done it. Right? Yeah. Everything he wanted, he carried out himself.
Where did God lose Moses or decided that he wasn't? Was it when he hit the stick against the rock too hard?
He hit it twice, right. The Lord told him, right. You know what?
Speak to
the Lord. Right. And those are things.
Do you think that's where his relationship got a little rocky with Moses?
No, you know what? As when you go through there, you realize, how can I say this? If it wasn't that, it would have been something else.
Because he was symbolic of the law.
Because, right.
He couldn't enter in the promise.
Right. He couldn't do it anyway.
But that was God's law. He gave it to Moses, right?
Yes.
But
he gave it to, what are you going to say? Say it. Say it. Say it.
But the law, while the law was perfect, the law was a schoolmaster. That the law was not meant to be what we, I don't want to go ahead.
Okay.
I was going to talk about at the foot of Mount Sinai. They had the options, and that wasn't. The Lord gave them what they asked for, but it wasn't.
It wasn't what they didn't know what they were asking
for.
They didn't know what they needed.
But the bottom line is, there's no way that Moses could have experienced a relationship that you were talking about, because he was symbolic of the law. And the law will not allow you to be in a close relationship with the Lord, because the law is based on your flesh.
But he's the one that toted these laws down from the mountain, right?
Right. To show them that you can't get to me by doing these things. That's like this. You know how you, I know you heard this expression where you give a person enough rope to hang himself.
Right.
Well, he always, if he thinks he can do something with this rope, then he's happy to have it. But the moment he realizes that, oh, this is not working out, and you know he can't do it, so you give it to him anyway. So he, like, okay, let's say you're working on your car at home, and your grandson comes up, he says, I want to help you work on the car. And you say, okay, well, jack the tire up right here and take it off. And you know he can't do it, but he'll insist that, I can do that. He's not even strong enough to break the lug wheels, the lug nuts off. And you're just waiting, and you let him do it until he gives up. And then you say, well, I already knew that, and I'm going to go ahead and take it off.
But I wouldn't say that.
Okay, let's go on to verse. Well, you get the picture, though, right?
Well, I got the picture.
Okay. Verse, how did I know that wouldn't be a good example?
Well,
verse.
But when I play games with the kids, I always let them win. I know so many people tell me.
But that doesn't work for the example, so.
I mean, I kind of help them, you know.
But he says, now, he said, verse 9.
Maybe I'm wrong.
But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? Now that you have a relationship with the Lord, and the reason you have the relationship is because he's allowing it. He has made it possible for us to have a relationship. Paul said, now, how now, after you are able to have a relationship, why would you go back to the old relationship?
Because you're used to the old traditions.
Because that's a good point. Because somebody in the Galatian, when they came up, somebody persuaded them that this relationship is better. Can you see why he says, I'm amazed? Can you see why Paul says, I'm afraid of you? Can you see why?
Sure.
Why would you leave this closeness?
Because they didn't have full understanding.
Because they didn't realize who God had made them. Right. They didn't realize, and it's the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's the beginning of the relationship. They didn't know what they were leaving.
That's why Paul says that Lord's will is that all men might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. They're not synonymous.
Do you know how much truth is in the truth? When he says all men be saved and come to the, you know how much truth is embodied in the truth?
Must be a lot of it.
Salvation is just the threshold. There's a whole vast universe beyond it.
Remember we were talking about the books, the sequence of the books? When he writes to the Romans, he says in chapter 5, he says this. He says, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. He says, you're in here. And nothing will change that. Why? So somebody says, well, you should fear the Lord. Well, wait a minute. I just read it that he says I have what?
Peace.
And we look at Romans 5. Hold your hand here. Romans 5.
Yeah, but you're assuming that somebody's going to rightly divide the book, because I'm sure they could go somewhere else and find that you don't have peace.
Is it important to rightly divide?
Absolutely.
Oh boy.
Romans 5.
Romans 5.
And that's the biggest thing, because somebody will get hung up on a verse and say, yeah, but it says right here.
And you can find, you could go and find a verse that would tell you you should be scared of the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By Christ, we also have what? Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
You read right past wherein we stand, and you just kind of read right there, but that's what I wasn't going to,
you can pick out that, and but we don't all stand in that right now. Mm-hmm. Stand in it, you know what, where you if the Galatians stood in this, he wouldn't have to write Galatians.
Mm-hmm. Judaizers would come in and upset their apple cart.
But anybody Peace. Can actually pick out a phrase in here and use it to their advantage. And
that's why we have to rightly divide.
Right. That's, you know, it's different when you, as you begin to grow, you can't be sold a bill of goods when you know what you have. And that's what Paul, he says, we have grace, we have peace with God, we have access. Do you know, could the children of Israel say they had access to God?
No. They had a line drawn.
They didn't have.
Don't cross this line.
One man, two. Well, Moses, Aaron, right. And the priest. Mm-hmm. You had one tribe and one man out of that tribe who had access to God.
And only one day a year.
And not without.
Sacrifice.
Without a sacrifice. Now here you are. Look, here we are. All of us. Mm-hmm. We have access to God by faith right now. Whenever you want to. You know, it doesn't have a sign up there, do not disturb.
Right. We have the Holy Spirit.
Or you don't have to, you know what, you go to the store or somewhere, you got to pull that little number out. You don't have to do that. You know, you pull it down and I'm number 300. You know, I got to wait. Like you go to the doctor. You know what, you come right up to the front. And tell them what you want.
Well, he was testing those Jews for a long time.
That's right. Okay, Galatians. Do you see how good it is for God to know you? Because when he knows you, he's telling you. It's kind of like, well, singling you out, and he says, her. I want to have her come up here. Come up to the front. That's what he's saying. You don't know. You don't think that the closeness is there. But he's telling you, he says, you're special. You come to the front of the line. Hey, me? Yeah, you. Yeah. Us? He's like, yeah, us. He said, we are special. You're sons. I was watching something about Kennedy, where his son, he used to go into the office all the time. Mm-hmm. He just run in there to the, you know, into the Oval Office. And he'd play with his cars in there. Why could he do that? He had access because
it was the president of the United States, but it was his father.
Because he had a different what?
Relationship.
He had a close relationship. The relationship which allowed the son access to the father at any time. That's what we have. He didn't have to sign in a log and what do you want? I want to see the president. Okay. Come back in 6 weeks and you'll be able to see him. He'd go right in, the door closed. He go in. That's my father. That's what the law did this. You want to see the Lord? Here's a whole list of things you have to meet. Grace says this. Grace says, go get him. Did you hear what I said? The law says, here's the list you have to meet. Grace says this. You go get him. For me. You still didn't hear me.
I heard you.
Not like we want to go in there all the time.
He's begging us to come.
Thank you. He's not that we know him, but that we are known what?
Of him.
Remember the verse in Timothy said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows. The moment you make that heart transaction, he says, all this is for you. Okay. Verse 10. He says, ye observe days and months and times and years. He says, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. That's what the Galatians, they went back to performance again. And think about this. He said, you observe days and times and months and years.
Just like the law demanded.
Just like the law demanded. But if you know anything about those days, months, times, and years, what did they do? What was the purpose of those days, months, times, and years?
They were shadows.
Of what?
Christ. What was to come?
What was to come? What was to come?
The restoration. Back to the garden. What the Lord had purposed. Reclaiming the earth. Restoring it all back. And how he was going to use them in those things.
How what?
How he was going to use them in that process.
That's another R-E word.
Restitution?
No. It's a...
Recycle.
Nope.
Sorry.
Reconciliation.
I'll squeeze that in there.
Did you ever say restitution? No, not restitution.
Yeah.
I know you got it now.
Relationship?
That's it.
Oh, we were playing that word game.
That's what you had to make it challenge you mentally. That's add a little excitement to it. But that's what those days did. It all those R-E words, but it also was to develop in them a what?
Relationship.
That's why he said this. Three times a year, I want what? I want everybody at Jerusalem. Everybody who believes, I want you at Jerusalem. Every male that believes, I want you at Jerusalem. Why couldn't we just send one? He said, I want everybody. He said, they shall all know me from the they shall all know me. They won't have any need that any man teach them. Know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. That's what he wants. He says, "Why are you going back to the types and shadows?" When I've already introduced you to the man. Didn't he say, when he started off Galatians, he says, Jesus Christ was evidently what? Set forth. He says, I painted the clear picture of the relationship, what he's done for you. How can you go back?
That subtlety of Satan and his beguiling.
To, you know what that's like? Says, well, Ed, you've been gone 6 weeks, and you come home, and you haven't seen your wife in 6 weeks, and Annette's in the room watching TV, and you come in, and you sit in the room with a picture of Annette. It's like, well, I really do miss her. Boy. Does that make sense?
No.
I mean, no, not what he did, but that's what the Galatians did. They left the real for the ritual. So 6 months, he's carrying around a picture. And why are you looking at that picture? Because I really miss her. She's in the other room. Put the picture down and go enjoy the relationship. That's what he's telling the Galatians. He says, that's what makes me scared of you. Why did I labor so hard to introduce you to Christ and you turned your back on it? You can talk to somebody about grace and that's great. You're on the phone, I love that. Oh, I love it. Oh, what time does the class start? I'll be there. You're like, well, maybe next week. Well, something happened.
But grace is talked back in Moses, and I thought grace was a secret.
This dispensation of grace was this. Well, God showed grace to Moses and to the children of Israel on a different level. Here, it's undiluted. Everybody gets it, and everybody gets all of it.
Okay. It was limited back then.
It was limited, yeah. Right. And here, we get it all, and it's all grace for everybody. All the time. Right, just for the Jews.
For the Jews back there. I'm sorry.
It's also, too, it's just like faith. They were saved by faith, but they had to exercise their faith by doing the things that were prescribed for them to do to show their faith. For us today, we show our faith by resting that Christ has done it all and not trying to work and add to it. So it's always by faith, but it's shown in a different way.
Well, I didn't know. I thought grace was, of course, I ain't studied like y'all have. I just thought grace was that big secret he kept from everybody. But I see he introduced it to him back there at Moses' time.
The what?
He's talking about the mystery.
The mystery, yeah.
Grace was a mystery, right?
Grace to us, right. Like Ed was saying, is we're Gentiles. Nowhere God said that I'm going to give this to them without any help, without any works. Where we were sitting here today with no Jew who's directing us, no Jew who showed us where to go, no Jew who, other than the scriptures, no Jew involved at all. But you know what? You don't have to get it all right now. You've been here. You're growing in leaps and bounds. So,
if I've been here 4 years, I ain't leaping and bounding on things.
Oh, trust me. So he says, verse 10. He says, "Ye observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I beseech ye, brethren, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel of Christ unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your eyes and have given them to me." He said, he says, "I'm afraid of you." And he says, "Unless I bestow labor upon you in vain." He says, "Be as I am, for I as am ye are." He says, "Be as I am." How was he?
As ye are.
And he says, He says, "I am as ye are." The same, if they believed, the same relationship, they had the same relationship
they had the same access
as Paul did.
Had. They just weren't recognized.
They weren't.
Understanding, comprehending.
He knows. That's why he's the father to them. He's telling, he's trying to show them, this is what you have. You have the same thing I have. What's, you know what the biggest thing for, when you talk of, when you, if you're going out and you're talking to people about grace and you're trying to show them, you're trying to show them, you have everything that I have. Only difference is I know it. You don't. It's like, this is what you have. This is the, these are the riches of grace that you have.
So I got it then.
You got it. You got it. You just know what? Somebody needs to open the pinata for you.
I could do that.
So you can, you know what? Well, these blessings, they start pouring out and you like, wow, that, the minute you find out what you have in Christ, I guarantee that the other stuff you had, you won't need it. I know where Ed, we joke sometimes about where you, if you're talking to somebody and you go right for the idol, like next week. You know what? It's, we talked about this, returning to God from idols. To God. Not from idols to God, but to God from idols. You know what gets attention, what makes people move to other things is the fact that it looks what?
Better.
It looks better. That's a modest word. It's more desirable.
It's the truth.
So you have to show people that what Christ has accomplished for them is more desirable than the toys that they play with. And you don't have to talk about the toy. You just talk about the thing that's more desirable, more excellent. And then he can look at this and say, I'll put that down. There was a commercial a long time ago used to come on. These two birds are sitting on a wire, and they're eating lunch. What?
We talked about that lunch.
Okay. And he says, they sit together, and he says, what you eating? He says, one has a Chef Boyardee ravioli, and one has a bologna sandwich. And they sitting there on the wire, and he says, what you eating? He says, Chef Boyardee ravioli. He says, what you eating? He says, I'm eating a bologna sandwich. And he says, you want to trade? And he says, yeah. So he gives him his can of ravioli, and he tastes it, and he likes it. And the other bird tastes the guy's bologna sandwich, and he's like, he says, I like mine better. And he took it back. That's what we have to do when we see people involved in religious activity. We have to show them the ravioli. That Christ is much better than this. Isn't he? In Hebrews, he says this. He says he's better. Doesn't he? He's better than Moses. He's better than Aaron. He's better than the temple. He's better than the law. He's better than He's better. He's better. He's better. Let us go on. To what?
Perfection.
What's another word for perfection? Let us go on to
excellence
in the standpoint of growth. To maturity. You used to be a kid. You used to be a servant. He says, why don't you embrace your new relationship? Okay. He says that they would have plucked out their own eyes. Do you know what? We'll kind of hit on these verses and wind up here. What I noticed in that, where Paul, you know how That's how much care he had for the for all the believers. Is he said, "You have not injured me at all." They turned away from him. They rejected his apostleship. But he says, "It's okay. I'm not mad." He said, "You haven't injured me at all." That's when you go through, if you ever read 2 Corinthians, man, I love that book, because all through that book, you know what you see? Even more so in the other epistles, you see Paul pouring his heart out to those believers. I mean, the phraseology in that book where he starts, when he talks to them, and from in every chapter, he's talking to them with love. And he knows that they're carnal as carnal as they could be. And he says, "Even though the more I love you, the less you love me." He says, I'm not straightened. He says, "I'm not holding back. You're holding back." He's like, "Receive us. We haven't done you any wrong. Embrace us." And but what he's trying to do is, he says, I don't want yours. I want you." He wanted them in the fellowship of Christ. Know what made him want them? You know what made him want them so much? Because he knew that God wanted them so much. He was a man after God's will, after God's heart. That's why he could reach out to those believers, and he in the midst of us, you know what we'll say? "Oh, he'll never grow. We're gone. We leave him right there." But Paul says, "Not me." He says, "I can come to Corinth and I can get you with my apostolic paddle." He said, "If you want me to come, I'll come with a rod and I won't spare." But you know what he says? He says, "But I'm doing this. I'm not doing this because of the power that the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction." He says, "I can clean house if I come to Corinth." He said, "But that's not the way I want to clean house. I want to come in and fellowship with you. Because the Lord has given me the powers for what? Edification." That's what he's telling the Galatians. He says, "I'm not mad at you." He said, you haven't injured me at all. What I want you to do is grow up. You know what he said? That's why he says, look, he says, 19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be what? Formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." Do you see that? You see that that emotional plea in there? He says, my little children. My little children. He's like, well, you know, if you guys have, you know how you reach, they can fight you when they're younger. I mean, all you want is what?
Love.
All you want is their best. You got their best interests at heart.
Right. That's all you have.
But they think they know more than you know. Right. Like the lady says, she says, "I'm coming back from where you're going." It's like, I know what I'm talking about. And that's Paul. Paul says, "My little children," he says, "I travail in birth again." You know what? We got to go back to square one. I got to talk about Christ again. Try to get you know what, to embrace the gospel again. Make sure you got it. To make sure you know what you have in Christ. Start at square one again. Until Christ be what? Start all over again. That's why it's the same thing he said to the Corinthians, isn't it? I determined not to know anything among you but what?
Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Why?
Because that was all they could handle.
Because they were yet what?
Babies.
They couldn't handle anything more. You can't handle another. You can't handle a deeper relationship. So we're going to stop there. We're going to pick up at verse 21. Next week.
521.
421.
421.